about the historical data set that we have available to us within the NIPT program and a little bit about how we can use that, and we look forward to other opportunities to do so with cooperators. We have, as you all know, or maybe you don't know, the NIPT program's been around for about 20 years now. Started off in the Western Region with the Western Region Committee there involved in looking at lab uniformity result and things within the region, and then eventually expanded to include all of SSSA in North America and beyond. And over that time period, we've had soil sampled extensively from across the U.S. and Canada in some places, and used as the proficiency testing exchange samples that have gone out to our participating labs. In any given year, we'll have up to 17 different soils that'll go out. Instead of we have 20 samples that go out over the course of the year, but one of those samples we send out every single quarter as a multi-quarter check throughout the year. And so we have up to 17 different soils that go out each year. So we have a large archival a database and a sample base from which we can do some observational work on the samples, particularly as it relates to the effect of time on soil analysis while the samples are in storage. And so we have these archival samples. We've retained most of those, at least a subset of those for research purposes, and where we've had quantities enough from those samples, they've been available to you as laboratories for purchases, QC checks, and for other purposes. And many of those archive samples were large enough that we were able to provide additional exchanges out of them. And so in some cases, in an interval of 1 to 7 years in time separation, we've been able to send out a sample that's been stored for quite some time in a subsequent exchange at varying time intervals over the course of the program. And so that database allowed us quite a bit of opportunity to look at the effect of time in storage on soil test levels. And we can do that in two different ways. The first would be to just take those samples and subsample them out of storage and send them to a laboratory for new analysis, and then compare that result back to the original NIPT program database for that particular sample. We could also, with those that we were able to send out more than once over the course of the program, we could look at the entire NIPT program database for those same samples at two different times. And so I'm going to report on some of that here in terms of the historical changes in soil test levels over a wide range of years in separation in terms of time and storage, and a little bit about how the structure of the database in terms of its variability and things helps us kind of observe whether or not there is, in fact, a time effect in storage. So I'm going to report on the two different ways of taking a look at time effect in storage from the new analysis and from the reused samples in the program. So for the new analysis, what we did is we took triplicate subsamples of the archive exchange samples and sent them to one of our high-performing NAPT participating labs for new analysis. Two soils were taken from the following storage times, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15, and 20 years in storage. So two soils from each of that, and then obviously sent in triplicate subsample to the laboratory. Now, some of the analyses that we currently conduct weren't done 15 years ago on the NAPT samples, for example, 1-to-1 pH and some others. But for the most part, we have 20 years worth of record on two different samples. So we have 16 mean observations in new soil test values on those samples. In order to really look at the time progression in the effect on soil test level, we had to do some kind of normalization in order to be able to compare each method over all soils across the time series. And so to do that, we took the mean data that we got back from the laboratory and converted that to a percent change in soil test level from the companion archival median that was the result of the original data exchange with the laboratories. We also wanted to look at normalizing the structure of the data, the variability there. So we took that archival data MAD result and also normalized it as a percent of the original median on that data set, and then averaged those over the values for all the soils in each of the methods so that we could then really look at the comparison with soil test level to the archival median and variability in that original data set, and compare on a normalized level all of the soils for each of the different analyses. In the study portion here where we actually looked at the reused exchange samples, we tabulated data for median and MAD at separations of 1, 2, 3, and 4 years in storage for the primary NP and K analyses that we typically do within the program. So that was a little bit more straightforward. We can just compare paired observations at each of those different time intervals in storage with the original median and variability associated with that data from the entire NAPT program participant database. A little bit of background here on soil storage, so you have an idea of how these are handled over the 20 years that we've had them in storage. These, before they're stored, they're fully air dried. And in Utah conditions, or in Western U.S. conditions, some of these were taken in Colorado and other places as well, and stored and moved different places at times. This typically is anywhere from 2 to 4% and less of volumetric water content. So they're very dry. In fact, air dry in these cases is pretty much just structural water in these samples. Most of the archive samples then are sealed in the distribution containers that are typically used in the NAPT program, and then again sealed in groups in 5-gallon plastic buckets. So they're kept dry and sealed from the outside air. Some of them are large enough in bulk to have been stored directly in sealed five-gallon buckets. All of these samples are stored in enclosed but uninsulated access-controlled storage facilities, so they're subject to ambient temperature and indoor humidity conditions and things like that in surrounding air. But this is a temperate, semi-arid condition, so think desert. That's where they're being stored. But that just gives you a little background on how these are handled over time. So I'm going to report here a little bit of the results associated with the sending out the samples to the laboratory for new analysis and compared over the 20 years, as I mentioned earlier. And the first one we'll start off with is 1-to-1 pH. I chose pH to start off with because we all know that's the low-hanging fruit there. We wouldn't expect a lot of change over time in pH, and in fact we don't. The way that these graphs are set up, you see that the zero line there would be if there was no difference in the new analysis soil test level compared to the original median value from the NAPT data set at any one of those years. And so you see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, and 15 years here in the data for pH. I've also included on all of these graphs the MAD value expressed as a percent of the original median and its average over all of the soils and the range in the actual new analysis data that you see there in terms of percent from the median value, either positive or negative. So in order to really kind of observe this, we would expect that by sending it out to a single laboratory, We're going to have some error associated with the result, as you would all have in any case. So we wanted to see if that original data structure would account for that error. And so also on these graphs, I'll put a box here that will show where the data fall in terms of the expected variability in reference to the original data sets, the original MAD values associated with it. So this would be our typical performance control limit of 2.5 times MAD, about the median expressed as a percent over all of the samples and all the years. So the pH data falls well within that expected variability. And you see, in addition to that, no effect of time on the storage or on the value given the storage interval that's there. So we'll go through each one of these different analyses and take a look at them and observe some of the differences that we see as we go along. This is 1-to-1 EC. It's a little bit more variable than the pH. But if you look at, again, the data structure from the original NAPT data sets, all of the points fall within what we would have expected to be the control limits on the original median value associated with that sample. And so they all basically fall within that box. And the fact we don't see, again, any real definitive relationship with time and storage on the value. Nitrate's the first one where we introduce some interesting aspects of the data. Now, we would all expect nitrogen to be one of those that that would change over time in storage. And in fact, what we see here is even though most of the data fall within what we would expect to be the control limits on the original median values for these samples, they are consistently less than the original median value. So there's been some consistency here, at least in the reduction in nitrate content in these samples. There seems to be here then a couple of things that we can talk about or at least ask additional questions about here on these samples. Number one is that we still don't see any real effect, at least a definable trend in time with the change. But we do have an effect in terms of the pre-storage chemistry of that particular sample, any given sample, on what the eventual value for nitrate in storage is going to be. And so there are some other aspects going on with respect to the chemistry in these soils that's not accounted for by time in this difference that we're seeing consistently happening with nitrate. So this may be some kind of small amount of microbial activity taking up available nitrate or denitrification from these samples a little bit over time. But all of those would be then more of a chemistry of the sample and the conditions of storage and the activity. So there's opportunity to go back with these samples now and take a look at what might be correlations with other things that we would expect to drive maybe a reduction in nitrate, since it seems to be fairly consistent. But again, no effective, definable effect of time on that value. Ammonium is just the opposite story. We have, again, most of the data, but quite a bit more of it outside what we would expect to have been the control limits on the original data, the median data, on these different soils. And it's very consistently higher than, in fact, in some cases, double the amount of ammonium in the original sample. And again, if there was some kind of microbial activity or a readily decomposable organic matter source or something like that, where you'd have some mineralization perhaps that would take place initially in the sample and storage, it seems to be specific to the sample and the conditions within that sample and not related to time so much as that that chemical condition. So we do have the opportunity to go back and say, okay, what are some of the things we would expect to drive that change and see, in fact, if there's correlations in those samples. The P extractions the Bray in particular, both Brays, Bray 110 and Bray 17, are both quite stable over time. They both, all the data pretty much falls within the control limits on the original median, and there's really no trend in time in this data. We go, though, to Olson P, and we have a little bit different story. We show a reduction consistently in Olson phosphorus extraction on the new samples, although, again, most of the data falls within what we would expect to have been the original control limits. I got 5 minutes. That's just about right. So even though we see that all falling within those original control limits, or at least some of the variability associated with those original samples, we see a consistent reduction in extraction here. And that may be, you know, surface complexation on organic matter or soil surfaces. It might be uptake or something from the sample. Olson is our least aggressive extractant for phosphorus, and so some of that might have gone into an irretrievable pool in storage would not necessarily have been resolubilized as part of the extraction. Malic, on the other hand, for P, is our most aggressive, and so some of that had fallen into the pool that perhaps Olson couldn't extract was mobilized with the malic extractant. Again, even though most of the data falls within what we would expect the variability to be on the original median values across the entire NAPT program database, there is this consistent increase that's likely associated with the chemistry within a given sample while in storage. Potassium, bimonium acetate, again, all of the data fall within the expected variability, and there's seemingly no time effect there on the storage or the soil test value over time. Now we get into some of the micros real quick. I'm going to just kind of touch upon these real fast. Again, most of the zinc data falls within the expected variability, so it's fairly stable, and again, no time effect. But the next one I'm going to show you is manganese. So what would you predict? This is a group participation. What would you predict with manganese in soils? A lot of variability, and Bob suggests perhaps a lot of increase. In fact, manganese is always our most problematic micro in all of our sample exchanges, and has the widest range in variability. You can see here in some cases 2 to 600 times higher in the soils. If we put the data structure on there, this is such a large scale on the y-axis that's pretty compact there on the graph, but that variability is still within about 25 to 30% of the original median on average, but that nowhere captures some of the effect that we see. In fact, we had one sample. It statistically tests as an outlier, but I don't discount it. I didn't put it on here because it really messes up the range. It was one of our one-year in-storage samples that came back at almost 2,000 times the original median value. So there's chemistry going on here. Manganese is so dependent on redox conditions and other things in these samples that a little bit of difference in the sample or even the handling when you're doing the testing in the laboratory can produce a wide-ranging result there on manganese. Copper pretty much falls within the variability in the original data. Again, really no time series there, and iron is even more stable there over time, although we see a consistent decrease in iron. Boron by DTPA sorbitol is very consistent. The last thing I wanted to cover is just a table here now. The tabulated data of those reused archive samples. This is really busy, and I apologize for it. But we have paired comparisons then with different soils that were sent out at 1, 2, 3, and 4 year separations in time from the original time it was sent out to the program participants. If I can get the arrow up here, you can see as you go down in any given column, very, very stable results for all of the different analyses. with the exception of two instances that I've circled here on the table, remarkably stable, even over 4 years separation in time for all the NPK, the NP and K standard analyses that we do. And so it's really impressive here to see that not only the median, but the data structure is pretty consistent. The ammonium value follows the trend that we saw in the new analysis where we have an increase, but the Olson does not follow that trend. So there's some interesting things with those two samples and those two particular observations. But for the most part, pretty confident in the fact that you can say that there's not a lot of time influence, at least, in these samples over a large data set over those different storage intervals. So, summary real quick. Apparent lack of time effect on the soil test level for a wide variety of soils and methods. And where we have the large historic data sets, the central tendency and structure are pretty consistent, at least over 4 years intervals. At the end of 2015 exchanges, when we get all that data summarized, we will have a chance to look at a seven-year separation in that historic data. We've had one that was sent out that was 7 years ago this last year. The changes that are happening seem to be due to more physical chemical conditions in storage and consistent with some of the shifts that we would expect given the chemistry of those different elements in the system. So this is just really a sampling of what is possible with the depth and breadth of this data set that we have and we've been accumulating over a long period of time. And unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to stick around and take a lot of a conversation afterwards. I've got to head off to an editorial board meeting for JEQ here this morning as well. But I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you about that. And I don't know, we don't have any time for questions.
We don't have time for questions.
But if you need to get a hold of me, you know where to find me. And we can talk about this. If you have ideas of improving this and fine-tuning the way we observe this, then great. Thank you.